You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Matt, it's a Monday. The Steelers won yesterday to get to 3-0. It's the first time since 2010 that they have been 3-0.
Oh, okay. This is the, I hadn't thought of that, but right.
The ninth time in franchise history they've been 3-0, which seems low.
Seems low, all considering how successful
since they've been. How long they've been around.
Mid-70s, you know, right, yeah.
The last seven times that they've been 3-0, they've made the playoffs.
Okay.
On three of those occasions, they went to the Super Bowl. Two of those occasions, they won it in 78 and 79.
Nice.
Obviously made it there in 2010 as well. They've only not made the playoffs one time when they started 3-0. That coming in 1936.
Oh, wow.
When they were still called the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Steelers, technically.
Steelers are fine, yeah.
The Steelers are fine. So if they're 3-0, they're going to make the playoffs. That 1936 Pittsburgh Pirates team went 6-3 and did, or 6-6, 6-6 and did not make
after
the postseason.
After a 3-0 start.
Yeah.
Okay. They traded all their guys to the Yankees or what?
Everybody went on DL with bad wings. But yeah, I mean it's a good start. They still haven't played their best football.
Agreed.
But I thought yesterday afternoon the second half was the best half of football that they played this season.
Yeah, I think so. I felt like they were hitting their stride, and they haven't played great teams, but I also thought that was the best team they faced.
No doubt, yeah.
And definitely the hardest challenge overall that they've faced. I think Ben has started slow each of the 3 weeks and gotten better as the game has gone on. And clearly the defense, they didn't allow a point in the second half, was better in the second half than the first.
Gave up two first downs in the second
half.
Two first downs.
Yeah.
Against Deshaun Watson and that.
I mean, it's a talented
offense.
That's
a good
offense.
It's a good offense. Yeah. I thought Watson was outstanding in the first half of that game. I think he was 14 of 18.
He made a lot of happen on his own.
202 yards, yeah.
Yes, I thought he was great.
He was under siege, and he was escaping pressure and doing those kind of things. And that's going to happen against those kind of quarterbacks.
Oh, that's what he does. That's why I just gave him $40 million a year.
He's probably, at this point in his career, top five or six quarterback.
I think so. I mean, I think the guys tonight and Wilson are the obvious ones, and then you know, I guess Rodgers is back in that conversation, but he's not far off Dak or one of those type of guys for 5, 6, 7, 8 neighborhood. You know, and I think the arrow's going up, even though his season started a little slow. But he makes plays.
And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when we referenced the quarterback index.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers don't play many of those top quarterbacks.
No, I mean Lamar twice, I guess the. South doesn't look too bad, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So,
and Watson,
right.
Watson was one of those guys. I think it was 10-6. I think they have 10 games against guys who were in that bottom half and 6 against guys who are in the top half, and that was one of them yesterday. Obviously, this week they'll get Ryan Tannehill.
He's playing well. Yeah.
But you would think that the Steelers' game plan would be to come out and slam the door on Derrick Henry again and you know, make Tannehill beat you.
I would imagine, and A.J. Brown's been in and out of the lineup, too, and they're, you know, a lot less scary with him. I haven't given that game a ton of thought, but the one thing I did really think about, I think is what you were referring to, was kind of treating the Barkley treatment with And I think it's even more true with Henry because the style of back that he is, don't let his feet get going.
Yeah, you know, get like, him before he gets right. Because once he gets going,
he's a momentum. He's a snowball.
He's a real problem.
You know? Right, he's a real problem.
I asked Vince Williams that today, and he said that you know the idea is to get him in the backfield before he gets going because if he gets into your secondary, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been a lot of that for him this year. I mean, he's been a volume guy that ends up with 120, 130 yards, you know, and good days and nice runs, but hasn't been breaking free like he does and just, you know, shrugging off defensive backs like fleas. And I'm not sure his blocking's been quite as good as it was in the past, too. But I'm with you. I think that the approach this week, certainly more than against Houston, will be get people upfield to make him change direction or stop his feet. Just don't let that snowball start rolling deep downhill, you know?
Yeah, and to your point, he's got 82 carries in the first three games.
Okay.
The next closest guy is Josh Jacobs with 68.
Wow. I mean, I knew he was one.
Yeah.
It's 20, 25 every week, sometimes more, right.
And he's averaging he's averaging 3.9 yards a carry right now. He's his long run though is 16 yards. There are only two backs averaging 100 yards rushing per game. It's him and Aaron Jones.
Gotcha.
And
he's fast. It's not like he's a grinder that he will break free and run away from
you,
people.
If you don't get him on the ground, he's a real issue. But the Steelers conversely have been despite giving up the 104 rushing yards to the Broncos last week, they're number one in the league against the run.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Two really awesome, performances around that Denver game.
And 29 yards in those other two games.
29 yards. Right.
They're giving up. It's ridiculous. I think it's 2.7 yards a carry, which also leads the league.
Got to.
They've just been, they've been really good against the run.
Even
that game against the Broncos, that was basically a half of that game. They didn't stop the run real well, and then the second half of that game, they slammed the door.
They eliminated that problem quickly. And those were a lot of bit. Not that they don't count the same or just as important, but they were a lot of cutback runs, and I think Munchak's influence was helpful there too. And that's what this league is. I mean, knowing your matchups and all those type of things. But there's been a lot of Steelers front seven guys that have played the run extremely well. I mean, getting outside Bud and TJ is really difficult right now. Cam's getting a lot of double teams, but the other two interior guys are really...
Williams leads the league with 8 tackles for a loss.
Really?
He's living in the backfield,
Bush is making plays in the backfield, right.
And, there's the old adage, you stop the run on the way to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been what they've been doing.
Yeah, it has been, right. And the whole team's tackling well.
Yeah.
I mean, especially early in the season, I thought tackling would be a real issue for a lot of teams.
If you watched that game last night...
Kamara's great, but...
Yeah,
right.
when you just try to throw your body at him and he bounces off... We just saw that a lot last night. I mean, I think he made 7 guys miss
on that one run.
On the one little catch that he had, ran out of a little foothold tackle, a couple of body blocks along the sidelines.
And he's hard enough to get on the ground anyway,
right?
With his balance and agility, and that was bad. But we have not seen much of that from the Steelers. They've been sure tacklers, forceful tacklers, gang tacklers. There's not much room to operate in the running game.
There has not been, and so that's going to be the main matchup this week. We'll see.
Sure.
We'll see how that plays out. But getting back to
real quick, that brings me to the Texans' point, though. That team, you talk about running problems. Like if this was a Texans podcast or show right now, I mean they got outrun by 140 yards yesterday, and that's like the norm for them.
Yeah.
I mean, just they don't run at all. You can't win like that. I know, analytics people, run doesn't matter. Yeah, it matters. Ask the Falcons if they could close out a game with a running game. It's
how
a
nice that would be.
Piece. Absolutely.
And to your point, the Texans had the ball for less than 10 minutes in the second half of that game. A couple of runs sprinkled in there in what was a one-score football game.
Yeah, it goes a long way.
It goes a long way.
Right.
Like, for most of that game, and even that second half, the Steelers didn't take the lead until there were 6:24 left in the game. Houston was leading that. They were up 21. They were up 21-17 at the half. They were up 21-20 for the better part of, after from 9:54 left in the third quarter until 6:24 left in the fourth quarter, and they went three and out every time.
Yeah.
Except the one drive where he hit two passes. That was it.
Looking it up to double check, but the Steelers ran 80 plays and the Texans ran 47.
Right. You can't win doing that.
Yeah, you got to hit, you know, big play after big play after big play. You got to be the Chiefs to be even close in that kind of situation.
Yeah, you're paying your quarterback a lot of money, but you're
not helping them.
They ran the ball in the second half 5 times for 9 yards.
Wow. That's amazing.
I mean, they just gave up.
They just gave up. Yeah. Right.
Johnson wasn't going to go anywhere, so we're just not going to do it. That was basically.
I was even shocked they didn't do short passing to him more.
Just to move the chains, supplemental. People complain about the Steelers running bubble screens and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Those are run game extensions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're just trying to get 4 or 5 yards there. You're not trying to get 12.
You don't want 2nd and 9. You know? Right.
And they just didn't do that for Watson and one of those runs in the second half was by him. That was a 5-yard run. So their other
running back runs were nil.
Their other 4 runs went for 4 yards.
Wow. Pure handoffs.
Pure handoffs went for 4 yards.
In the second half.
Just, you can't live that way in the NFL.
And you can't just give up on it that much either.
It's, again, in a 1-score game. I was also surprised we were talking about this before the show started. You just watched Denver run a bunch of the backside cutbacks against the Steelers.
They did well. You get
the defense flowing one way, and you start the runner that way, and he counters back to the backside. Mm-hmm. And they didn't try it at all.
No, I didn't see any of that. No, you're right. It really, we said this a lot last week, previewing that game, and Hopkins isn't there, but they really seem like they are searching for their identity offensively. You know, like they've made some pretty decent changes, but what's their bread and butter? Yeah, I don't think they know right now.
Right now, it's just Deshaun Watson. Here's our
make a play.
This is our guy. Make a play.
Yeah,
and you know he made some plays in that game, but he couldn't. He couldn't carry the whole load against that defense.
No, not against such an opponent like that. Yeah. And, you know, oh, by the way, the Steelers are running it down your defense's throat and you're on the sidelines watching. You know, like, what a helpless feeling it had to be for Watson.
Yeah, I agree. And the Steelers just dominated the time of possession in that football game overall. Almost 37 minutes of time of possession to 23. It just puts too much pressure on your quarterback to say you got to keep going out and make chunk plays.
Right. So you better come up big for us in a short amount of snaps to keep up.
And it was just that one mistake by Watson that really killed them. I mean, if they go down and at least get a field goal in that situation instead of him throwing the interception.
Could be a different game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that defense looked tired at the end, no matter what.
Well, they were done.
The fourth
quarter, the Texans defense was waving the white flag.
And they didn't help them at all, as we mentioned here. But still, it's not a real deep or physical defense and not the best group to begin with. And they don't stop the run well to begin with. And, yeah, it was over.
The Steelers made some halftime adjustments. Mm-hmm. I think that included they were playing a lot of, I thought, zone defense in the first half against Watson because they were afraid –
of the running threat.
Of his running threat. People have asked me that in my life. Why did they play zone in this game? They played, you know, more man behind their blitzing in the previous games. So I'm like, well, that's what you do against.
That's common against dangerous runners.
And it's not as, you know, that's not a surprise that Watson would pick that apart. That's all he's seen his entire career.
Right. That's what he's used to and he's good at. Right, absolutely.
So when they switched things up, it caused just a little bit of indecision for him. He did, you know, again, beat them with a couple of passes in doing that. But by and large, he wasn't nearly as effective when they went to man. Mm-hmm. Again, they gave up one run for 5. He's not looking to run
like he used to. No. I think he... And he did some really spectacular plays of buying time to set up to throw.
I mean, he averaged 500 yards rushing the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, again, he scrambled once in this game for 5 yards.
Yeah, that's always been all year, too.
Yeah, I think they've told him, hey, don't run.
I wonder if they're worried about saving him or, you know, now we've invested in you. Don't get killed. It is interesting because he's not as much. And just so people know, I mean, the logic is, if you're playing man coverage, your eyes are on your man, not Watson. If you're playing zone, you're seeing a bigger picture. You got a lot more eyes on that quarterback. And you could play
man and spy, have the middle linebacker spy him. But now you're taking another guy out of the coverage a little bit. But,
I wonder, though. I was planning on going down this road with you at some point. And, again, small sample size, as is the case with every team. It's only 3 games. I feel like the Steelers' D is better at man than zone. I think that's been true for Bush through his career.
I think so, too, yeah.
And I think Nelson and Hayden are better at it now than zone. Not that they can't play zone, and no team's 100% or anything. I mean, but I feel like they're a better man team than zone team, and I don't know if that's been true for 20 years.
I would agree. I mean, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why they went out and got guys like Hayden and Nelson, because they could play man.
You'd much rather be better at man, trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some weaknesses like against athletic quarterbacks, but that's how you deal with RPOs. I mean, like, there's it's a huge advantage.
Right. And I also think that, you know, when you're playing a zone defense, you know, and I'm going to use a basketball analogy here. I just don't think you're as aggressive.
Right.
In a zone defense. You're sitting
it's
back.
Me on you.
Yeah, yeah. You're sitting back waiting for the other team to play. And what's the best way to beat a zone defense in basketball? Well, you throw the ball. You reverse the football.
Okay.
You know, so if I'm rolling to my right and I throw back to the middle of the field, the zone defense is going to naturally flow with you.
Like an amoeba. Yeah. Right, yeah. Like,
and so you're going to have some seams open up.
Sure.
And that's what they were finding early in that football game. Watson was doing a good job of finding the holes. The receivers were doing a good job of sitting down. I think the one throw, it might actually have been a second half throw when they were in a zone. He scrambled to his right, and two Texans receivers were set up right next to each other, within like 5 feet of each other in the middle
Which
of the field.
A mistake,
they just stopped, both in the middle of the field, and he just threw back. Okay, I got a guy open there, and you know, turned that into a 25-yard gain. Well, that's how you beat the zone defense. You know, you kind of reverse field on them quickly. The Steelers took that away from him in the second half, by and large, and you know, he just. Was
sure
that a
seemed
loss?
Like their blitz percentage went down heavily too in the second half, and they were getting pressure with four, and you know, doing what they were a little more comfortable with, and frankly, they were just playing better too. I mean,
they kind of went back to the way they played things last year more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what they. Hey, we can't give up these big plays. We're just going to play it straight up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to allow our offense to get back into this. The offense did that. I thought the two units played well off of each other.
Yeah, I do too. And special teams was really good yet again too, which has been kind of an underreported story. No, you're right. I mean, running the football, we haven't talked much Steeler offense, but I'm sure we'll talk a lot about Ben's play to date. But I think what he's doing best is valuing the football, making good decisions. I mean, sometimes he looks rusty. Sometimes his throws are behind. He hasn't been a great deep passer. But what he's doing is exactly what we said all last year, that they need the quarterback position to do.
And I did want to get into that in the next segment, so we'll do that. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. Matt, you referenced the Steelers offense at the end of the last segment, and I wanted to save that for this segment because I had some stats here for you. The Steelers last season were second to last in number of plays run.
Yeah.
Only the Redskins.
Terrible.
The Redskins were worse. Right. Only the Redskins. Yeah. This year.
The Jets were better.
Yeah, the Jets were actually better.
Yeah, right.
This year, and probably because they played the Steelers.
True. I probably put them over.
This season, they are 10th in the league. In plays run through 3 weeks.
Yeah.
A massive difference. And again, you know, with that defense, that allows you to, you know, take control of the game a little bit.
Right.
And I think the big reason.
The defense was in place last year, too.
Yeah.
The offense couldn't do anything with that gift.
It was just on the field way too much.
Way too much. It's three and outs.
Yeah. So I think the biggest difference is Roethlisberger.
Sure.
And. You know, we saw it late in that game yesterday where you had situations where you know, Houston had their goal line defense on the field, in the middle of the field on some third and shorts, a fourth and shorts, and the Steelers just threw the ball.
Just threw the ball, right.
I guarantee those are run plays called, you know.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he...
He's got the option of
Dr. Rudolph.
Yeah.
They probably run it right into the teeth of
right.
the defense.
That's what you do because that you're not right. gonna you're not gonna ask those. Hey, if you see this, we're gonna change to this hot play.
And, right,
you
right.
know.
Like you're just lucky enough to get the snap and get everyone lined up and all that. And that's how we lost their left last segment. And how many million times did we say last year that just a quarterback that knows where to go with the football, understands where the blitzes are coming from, understands situational football, pacing and timing and when to play fast, when to play slow, just knowing where to go with the football, the Steelers would have been a pretty darn good team last year. I mean, let alone with somebody that's playing at a high level. If you just would have had that, obviously it's the most important position in sports for that reason above others. But now, you know, I think Ben is making some plays in addition to that, obviously. But I also think, you know, he started each game kind of slow. I thought that he's thrown behind his receivers more than you would like, and his deep ball hasn't been connecting. But yeah. in the meantime, all the intangibles that you can't put your numbers on, he's executing extremely well. Maybe it's better than I can ever remember in terms of just knowing where to go, don't force it, don't put the ball in harm's way, playing like a smart veteran.
Well, I think when you know you have that defense to work with, mm-hmm. I think that helps a lot. If you sure. look at it, you know, he's thrown seven touchdown passes. He's had just one interception.
Yeah, it's great.
They're not turning. Yesterday, I think they broke a string of like 20-plus games with a turnover.
Yeah, there was some long streak.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know, again, 16 of that was last year with
right,
four,
right
in 14 of those games you had you know inexperienced
to blame for
15
all
of the games
right,
really
right.
you had inexperienced quarterbacks playing there's one guy on my site who keeps bringing up well they haven't scored 30 points in like 24 straight games you know they need to score 30 okay. points the last time they scored 30 points they lost
was it
they lost 33-30 to the Chargers
mm-hmm.
they could have scored 30 points in each one of these games this year.
Oh, I agree.
They were sitting, they were kneeling on the ball, like yeah. yesterday, they're kneeling on the football inside the five
if
at the end of the game.
If you swap out the Steelers' D for the Bengals' D, I bet the offense would score 30 points.
Absolutely, because they would
be
have to. Yeah.
or
0-3, or, yeah.
Or, I mean, they wouldn't be 3-0, likely, but a lot of it's just knowing when to lean, you know, when to choke teams out. I mean, nobody complained when Cowher's team run the four-minute offense and choked teams out with a lead and didn't get the 30 points. I mean, look at the super smart Belichick Patriots yesterday. They ran for 250 yards and controlled the total game against a bad defense.
Newton threw the ball like 20 times.
Right. They didn't have to score a lot of points to win. They knew exactly what they had to do to win against a team that they had a beat on, and that was great. And that's what good teams do.
Yeah, I just think that right now Roethlisberger, the thing that can't be overlooked is that he's winning these games above the neck.
Yeah,
and calling a good game. I should say he and
not
Randy.
That he's not making.
He and Randy Fichtner are calling a good game. Fichtner never gets any credit.
right.
That's all Ben. They talk about these things. They
sure.
develop a
he's
plan.
The coach,
yeah.
Right, yeah. When things go wrong, Coach.
It's automatically Fichtner that made the
mistake. Never
Ben
made a mistake. And, yeah, right.
The same thing yesterday when Deontay Johnson fields a punt at the five. You know, fair catches a punt at the five. Oh, I can't believe it. You know, their special teams coach has got to go.
Special teams have been tremendous.
He's never told. He's never mentioned the fact to Deontay Johnson. Right. Hey, you put your feet at the 10-yard line, and if you have to go backwards, you don't fair catch. You know, let it go.
Mm-hmm. Or that.
You can coach these guys up so much.
These guys have been fielding punts for a long time. I mean, that's on the plate.
Yeah, it's not his first rodeo here.
No.
It's not like you just pulled this guy out of the stands and say, hey, go field this punt.
Now that you brought him up, though, I didn't plan – we can definitely talk more Ben. But I found it really interesting watching the game the second time when Deontay was – before his injury, they treated him like the number one.
Yes.
Roby followed him. He shadowed him. Roby has been shadowing number ones for the first couple weeks of the year. Not that he's Deion or Revis, but that's how they play.
Right.
He's their best guy. And it was clear that the Texans looked at Deontay Johnson as the Steelers' number one.
And we talked about that last week. I thought they should.
I think it's clear, too. But I don't know that the general world, the general public and listening audience knows that it's clear now.
Yeah. I also think that when Deontay Johnson left that game, the Steelers took a little while to adjust to not having him on the field.
And I don't think Roby traveled with anyone at that point.
Right, and then they played straight
side
up.
Mostly,
You know, so
teams tell you what they think.
Right.
You know, right.
And again, he had 23 targets coming into that game. It was their third most in the league. I mean, you have to respect that. And he had just, you know, he just destroyed the, you know, the Broncos the week before. So, yeah, you got to do that.
But just watching it on TV, when he took that hit, I'm like, oh, he's not going to come back. Like, it seemed pretty obvious. I mean, it was a shot. But I immediately thought, I know he's their number one, but I'm not that worried.
They've got other guys. Yeah. And yesterday it was Eric Ebron taking a more prominent role.
And I was shocked when I read today Claypool played the most snaps of all the wideouts.
Well, they played so many big packages.
I say he's a good blocker.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he's essentially filling that Johnny Holton role in the big packages.
But so much better.
But so much better. Like, you know, yeah, he's got the speed, you know, if you want to run a deep throw out of that package because they put a bunch of guys on the field to play the run. He's got the speed to beat that deep, but he's also a much better blocker.
Right, and I mean, total package. You can throw him fades and throw him bombs that he's going to bring down. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of it yet, but he's going to catch slants where he breaks a tackle and runs into a linebacker. You know,
yeah,
there's a lot there.
But I think Roethlisberger, getting back to the initial point, I think he's really playing well above the neck.
Yes.
I think the physical part of it will continue to get better as this thing goes along and –
I bet
not that he's playing super poorly.
No, not. I'm not saying he is or throwing the ball poorly because he's made some nice, very nice throws. I mean,
the touchdown pass to Ebron yesterday was.
No, it was a beaut.
Yeah.
I mean, the fade ball or the one to Claypool on the sidelines earlier in the year. And there's been 10 of them that are, whoa. I mean,
high level throws. Yeah.
Yeah, high level throws. But I bet if he was sitting here, he would tell you, I know I can throw the ball better.
Right.
You know, he misses more layups than he probably will as the season goes on. I think he'll complete more deep balls going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that you see across the league with all older quarterbacks. I Brady doesn't make as many layups as he used to. Breeze doesn't make as many layups as he, you know.
Yeah.
But these guys, again, I think, you know, I'm looking here at the quarterback passer ratings for the season, which is just – astronomical.
I
right
haven't
now.
Seen them.
They're
must
nuts.
Be massive numbers.
Russell Wilson's at 139. 139 through three games.
Back to back 5 touchdown passing games, and then 4 in the first week. So he's 14.
He's got 14 touchdown passes and 1 interception thus far this year. It's nuts.
And what's crazy is, you know, I'm sure you're gonna bring up Wilson and Rodgers and Allen, and those two dudes tonight are pretty good, too.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're like almost an afterthought at this point.
I mean, maybe
until tomorrow.
Yeah, at least until tomorrow. But, Roethlisberger is playing well. His passer rating is 105.2. I don't think that's very far off of his career high.
How many games did the Steelers win if they had a quarterback at 105 passing rating last year?
12.
I was going to say 13 or 14.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
We talked about it all offseason. Like, all they need from even last year, if they had average quarterback play, how good of a team this is. Well, they're getting better than average.
They're not reliant on one weapon. Even if your best guy goes out, you're still really strong.
And you see how much it opens up the running game.
Absolutely.
They're averaging 140 yards rushing per game. That's not because suddenly the offensive line is, oh, boy, the offensive line's blocking so much better. No, it's because the quarterback is a threat to throw the ball.
Yeah. I'm a little shocked in a positive way just how balanced this offense is now after 3 games, too. I kind of feel like whoever the opponent is, the Steelers can play to their weaknesses.
Right. They can do what they want to do, and we've seen that to a large degree. You know, they didn't run the ball against the Broncos until late in the game because they didn't have to.
Right, right.
You know, it was more 50-50 split against the Giants. Yesterday it was more of a 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. But when they want to throw the football, they can throw it.
But to your point, too, like, I'm sure if you did a study, and it's probably out there, every time there's a favorable box count, how much are they running versus last year? Or I'm sure that's so much better when you should run, when the defense tells you to run, they're doing it and they're making a successful play out of it.
And sometimes fans don't want to hear that.
No.
You know,
one of the run-pass ratio.
You'll hear Roethlisberger after the game, why'd you throw the ball so much? Well, they were playing the run, so we went to the pass.
There's eight guys in the box.
We were letting the defense dictate what you do.
Sure. There's no right answer or everyone will play the same defense.
Yeah.
You know,
well, if they're playing, you know, they got 12 defensive backs on the field, you're not going to run. You're not going to throw the football. You're going to run
it. Right.
You're going to do what they do. Okay, we got them in a dime defense here, and it's third and four. Okay, we're going to run a draw here or something because they can't stop it.
I bet those numbers are out there. What percentage of the teams run when they should, as opposed to just running the run? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like taking what the defense
can. And last year they were running to run and passing to pass because that was what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the play was called from the sideline. The defense, you know, what happens, play gets called from the sidelines. The defense comes out and matches up. They have a play. They get their play call.
Sure.
Sometimes you get out there in the field and you look at, they get the perfect defense call for what we're going to run here.
Oh, right. And Ben would know that, and Rudolph and
they wouldn't. And they didn't have the opportunity to change it regardless, even if they knew it wasn't going to, you know.
And they were way easier to game plan for.
Yeah.
There was a lot more perfect defenses. Because,
you had a lot more good calls than bad.
Like, for example, I've heard, how on earth, and you hear this all the time, how on earth can Vince Williams get stuck one-on-one against Brandon Cooks? It's not what you want.
No.
The offensive play caller won that one.
Right.
He got you where you wanted, and they got lucky that Watson didn't hit it. Other than that, Vince played a great game. I'm not picking on Vince at all.
Right. But that's not a matchup you want.
You never want that. You know, like, that's exactly what you don't want. But give the offensive coordinator over there credit, too. He maneuvers people around. He knows what defense you're going to get. They worked on that all week, and they didn't connect on it. But that's what coaching is. I mean, that's what scheming is.
Yeah, it's the same reason, you know, when the Steelers come out in that big package and you see Eric Ebron matched up on a linebacker. Well,
yeah.
That's what the Steelers.
That's why we're out here like this.
That's what the Steelers, you know, schemed it up to do, to get.
How good was he yesterday, though?
He was good.
He was.
Yeah, and I thought it was telling on a couple of third downs, key third downs. Uh-huh. Roethlisberger went to him.
He does seem to trust Ebron, Deontay, Claypool, guys he has not played with before this year very much at all.
And, you know, one of the knocks against Ebron throughout the course of his career is, well, he'll drop some balls. Mm-hmm. Well, if he's a guy that drops some passes, do you necessarily go to him in a key third down situation if you think he's going to drop it? That wasn't, you know, Roethlisberger didn't hesitate.
I don't think Ben thinks he's going to drop balls.
No, he's just going to throw him the football. He's open.
Right. And frankly, if you're going to put things in the negative column, drops would be one of the ones I don't hate. Unless it's excessive, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize this, but like Edelman and Welker have a ton of drops.
Ridiculous amount of drops.
Yeah. They have small hands. You'd think they're easy throws. They get a lot of targets.
In traffic, too.
In traffic.
Yeah.
But they weren't great ball catchers.
Right.
That's not what they did.
I mean, Edelman typically drops 9 passes a year.
Yeah, right.
That's a lot.
And it's from me to you, but there's a lot of big people in between. And there's a lot going on, obviously, but it's a lot.
But if you get high volume, it doesn't matter. Well, he's got 100 catches every year. If he's, you know, catches 80 balls every year.
You don't think of him as, boy, I think all the drops that guy had.
Yeah.
You know, right.
I mean, but if you make big plays, nobody cares about the drops.
Nobody cares about the drops. Right. It's low on the list, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you'd have bad hands. I mean, if you can't catch it, I mean,
if you have bad hands, you're probably playing on defense somewhere.
You probably didn't get this far anyway. Right.
But, yeah, I mean, what is bad hands at the NFL level? You know, if you drop 5 out of 110 targets, do you have bad hands?
Nobody thinks about it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just
you drop 5
of doing business.
Yeah. But, again, I think that's more – I honestly think, again, I think it goes back to that tight end position that you're asked to do so much. And, again, much like the slot receivers, you're catching balls in traffic that sometimes it leads to drops. I mean, you're blocking a defensive lineman on back-to-back plays, and then on third down you're going out for a pass. Your hands were just – you know, holding on for dear life against against Reggie White.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you got to go, hey, I'm going to go catch this pass.
Speaking of which, I think Vance is blocking better than ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, as a pull and a move defender, but also just coming off the line.
He had a big third down catch yesterday, too.
That looked like
the old Vance running through tackles and getting extra yards.
And, yeah. Right. We hadn't seen that in a while. It's not like he's shot. I really like the way that he's moving bodies in the run game, though, and seems like him and DeCastro work really well together. Like on
that little counter pull that they do.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some timing and stuff to that. And I know you always are going to lump McDonald and Ebron together, but Ebron's never going to
do that. Two completely different guys.
Right, two different guys. And that's what you want at the position. You know, like, I forget, I was on with Madden today, and we were talking about tight ends. I'm like, of the 32 cities, Steeler Nation's a little behind of what tight ends are in this, today's league. I mean, there's 20 of them, including Travis Kelce, who really doesn't block anybody. Yeah. And if he does, it's a bonus.
Or by accident.
Or by accident. Or
he got in somebody's way, yeah.
Or, you know, right. But it's, you're not going to get Mark Bruner. We don't want Mark Bruner anymore. Great player. Sure, you'd love him, but that's not what the league is after.
No, that guy is now your third tight end.
Right.
That blocking tight end. We bring him in on blocking packages. Mm-hmm. Essentially, that's what they have with Gerald Hawkins now.
Who actually didn't play poorly
yesterday in that role. I thought he did a nice job in the run game.
He played a fair amount, too.
Yeah.
That was some unbalanced lines, some beef out there on some packages, too. And even when Watt went out. I wonder if Watt going out helped his cause get more snaps.
Probably. You know, somebody mentioned to me, well, you know, they every time they line up with McDonald in the backfield on short yardage, I get nervous. I'm like, well, they had to.
Well, that was an emergency situation.
Yeah, they were going to play Watt. You know, if they're in their big packages, Watt was going to play, and he pulled his hamstring, you know, covering a punt. So.
And I'm sure it was in the game plan leading up to the week that we want to play with two backs. You know, two back sets with a fullback, and when he
against
went out,
this,
we had to adjust
against this defense. That
right,
you know,
right.
You know, we talked about it last week. The inside linebackers are kind of light
coverage. And they don't get protected well by their D line. So you can get to them. And another one that just keeps dawning on me. I thought Pouncey got to the second level really well yesterday too.
Yeah,
moving his feet, light on his feet, he looked really good.
Yeah, so I thought they overall played the, you know, the final score doesn't to me. Typify how well they played, especially
the second half wasn't very competitive.
Really, from the offense from the middle of the second quarter on was clicking pretty good. I mean,
they
put together a scoring drive at the end of the first half, and actually they were down 14-3.
I mean,
and from that point on, they dominated.
You're right. I mean, anytime you can end a game kneeling on their 4 yard line, you know,
you could have punched another one in. Right, yeah, right. You could have easily just go, hey, let's run two more plays and get it in the end zone.
Yeah, here's seven more points, and everyone thinks you blew them out.
Right.
You know? It's all perception.
Yeah, it is all perception. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this Monday night game because this is one that I'm sure a lot of Steeler fans will be watching. Talk about the what the other teams in the division did as well. We'll do that right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
As we sit here right now, the Steelers sit atop the AFC North.
Sure, undefeated, baby.
Undefeated. Of course,
they'll be at the top tomorrow, too.
The game, one way or the other. But as we're going to see, I guess, this year's game of the century?
I think so. I mean, there's some impressive teams in the league, and we could, you know, and I think the Steelers are in this conversation for who's number three right now, but I do think they're the best two teams in the league. But I think Baltimore's playing through two games.
Baltimore's playing a little bit better.
Noticeably better, in my opinion. Which, hey, I mean, the Chiefs are fine. I'm not crying for them. But I just feel like Baltimore's offseason was friendlier to them. The Chiefs took some blows where Baltimore added, and it's kind of showing right now.
I'll say this. They've both played against the Texans, and they both dominated the Texans.
Killed them, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, what the Chiefs did in Week 2 against the Chargers, you know, they got ready for Tyrod Taylor, and all of a sudden Justin Herbert is out there.
And I know Andy Reid dominates that division, but the Chargers always play them close. They always find a way to lose. The Chiefs always find a way to win. But division games, we know how those go. I mean, like, if the Steelers played the Browns in Week 2 and it was a battle to the end and they squeaked one out, I don't think we'd be sitting here saying, boy, they're no good. You know, like, you got to take division games a little differently. So by no means am I saying the Chiefs are bad, but they have some areas that concern me, like interior O-line, linebacker. You know, so there's four or five starters on defense that I don't know are great. Will they stop, you know, the Ravens' run game early? If they don't, they're in for a long day. That doesn't mean they can't come back from 21 and win.
Yeah.
But
if you're the Chiefs in this game and you win the toss, you want the football.
Yes.
If you're the Ravens,
I think no matter what, when you play the Ravens, you want the football.
If you're the Ravens and you win the toss, because most a lot of teams will defer, you want the football.
I think so too. I think that's just a Raven thing. Their ability to get it was remarkable last year to get up on teams in the first quarter and then just smother you. You know, with blitz.
Well, then they can blitz. You know, you're up 14-0 or 14-3. If they're in a, if the Steelers are in that situation yesterday against the Ravens, Roethlisberger gets blitzed, you know, 70 times in that game.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And with the best running game in the league to lean on, too.
Right.
You know, and you're eating clock and you're out there, you know, making it really difficult on teams. And, I mean, it's two games, but Lamar looks better to me than he has yet, certainly as a passer and his composure and all those things. But they're not the Chiefs in terms of if you're up 20-0 at the half, Chiefs are still in it. I mean, we've seen that in Super Bowl.
If the Chiefs are up 20-0 at the half, the Ravens are done.
Yes, agreed, agreed.
Even against what's a below-average Chiefs defense. Because the Chiefs are going to keep scoring, you know. Yeah,
Mathau will pick you off once in a while. You know, they'll make
What they're set up to do. They're set up to rush the passer. They're set up to play with the lead.
Yeah,
rush the passer and take the ball away a couple of times, and that's their recipe for success.
Give us three or four stars on that side, then we'll be okay. We understand our linebackers are
because they trust that they're going to get the 30-plus points.
They know
so
they will.
All they need is a few stops.
And if I can get one more turnover, one more sack, you know, bat a pass down, especially in a normal year when you have to go to Kansas City and it's loud as can be and a terrible place to play and, you know, all those things factor in too. But I wonder, I mean, if it's an even game or even if the Ravens are, certainly if they're winning, but if they're down a little and they don't have to change what they do, are the Chiefs going to be able to get off the field? You know what I mean? Like, just running and ball control and tight end attacking those linebackers. I mean, I don't know that the Chiefs' D is a great matchup against this offense.
No, I don't either. And if you think back to that Week 1 game, we were all talking about how David Johnson looked great in that game.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And not so much since.
No, right. I mean, he's still moving around okay. He doesn't look like he's in sand like he did last year, but they're not.
Can't get out of his own backfield against the Ravens and Steelers.
There's nowhere to go. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're right.
It's going to be interesting, but I do think that
I can't wait for it. I mean,
it's going to be a great game, and I think I don't know that it matters where this one is played because Baltimore doesn't have fans in the stands either. So.
No, I mean you'd rather play it at home, I'm sure,
right.
Just for the travel of it all. But I mean, it'd be much different in a normal year, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. The other teams in the division, we saw the Bengals get a tie yesterday.
Tie in Philly,
but they got their tie. But they can't block at all. Their offensive line's worse than it was last year.
Worse than it was last year.
They gave up 8 sacks in that game. Joe Burrow was constantly under pressure. He threw for 312 yards, but I don't see him making it out of this season alive if they allow him to continue to get beaten up like this.
I don't know if you were able to see it, but he took a shot and left the game that got flagged. I mean, he got blasted, and I thought, oh, he's done for a while. And he's so tough, and I love the player, and he's super competitive. But your body's not going to hold up throwing 50, 60 times a game behind that line. And, you know, obviously that was a tie game. No, it was never ended. I mean, it was never – they weren't down 20. They didn't have to take that approach. I mean, I know Mixon's blocking is not great, but the way they're using Mixon makes me crazy. I mean, give Mixon money because you have this first overall quarterback so you can make his life easier and, you know, throw him screen passes and use him in – hurry up and hand them the ball a lot, and they're not enough. It seems like that offense is – I forget. I think it was Mike Lombardi today saying that their coach, Taylor, is a great offensive mind who learned from McVay, but he got the impression he's just out there calling plays as opposed to complimenting the bad D and the O-line and
I agree.
Being a head coach.
Yeah,
he's
I
out
think
there
that's
being a play caller, not a head coach.
And that's part of the problem, I think, when you have a young coordinator calling plays, a guy you know who's never been a head coach before.
Sure.
They don't think he's not thinking
he
about the big
thing.
Picture.
Right.
He's only thinking, oh, well, how can I make my offense look better? Well, your defense stinks.
You got to protect those guys.
You
got to
protect your quarterback. You got to protect your biggest assets here.
Right. He's getting 8 sacks a game. You know, he's taking brutal hits. But big picture, getting a win in, or getting a tie in Philly is like a win for that organization.
Absolutely, you know,
right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, that's
positive. They won two games all of last year.
Right.
Now, they still don't have a win.
True.
But they went to Philadelphia. Philadelphia was a playoff team last year. Mm-hmm. Last year's last year. I don't think Philadelphia is going to be a playoff team this year.
Maybe because their division's awful again, but I don't think so. They're struggling, to say the least.
And you came away feeling okay about yourself, other than
Burrow. Until the end, yeah.
Burrow probably doesn't feel real good today. But
no, he's probably a little sore. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's some good things going on in Cincinnati, but there's some huge holes, and the coach worries me a little bit too. I mean, I wonder if he's a coordinator.
Yeah. Cleveland plays the Redskins yesterday. They win 34-20. Not overly surprising.
No.
But it was the same kind of game script that they've had.
Like
they had last week, yeah.
Week, bad D.
They've beaten two bad teams.
Yeah.
Mayfield threw the ball 23 times yesterday.
Exactly. And if you told us that on Friday, we'd say, "Oh, the Browns won."
Yeah.
Yeah. That's if what they need.
If Mayfield throws it 30 times, the Browns probably lost.
Right. And let alone, you know, more than that in a shootout situation. Like, I think a week one he threw a ton, which they were getting killed.
They're getting killed. My question is, how long are Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry going to be happy getting 6 and 4 targets like they did yesterday?
Right. They're probably.
You're paying these guys $35 million combined?
Yeah.
And you're not using them at
catches,
all?
10 catches, you know, 10 targets, yeah. 1,000 targets, something like that.
They had 8 combined catches, didn't even have 100 yards yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, how long are they going to be happy with that?
Talking Browns big picture, I recognize that I've been really hard on Mayfield, and the organization's bad. But I also feel like when the script is right, just like we saw the last 2 weeks, they'll probably win. But not to bash them too much, but the Bengals on that short week on Thursday night, and then Washington, who loses Chase Young right off the bat and has no offense at all. I mean, like,
right, none.
Their offensive line's bad, and they didn't have Brandon Scherff. Haskins looks terrible. Like, it set up just too easy to play into the Browns, you know, laps for both those games. And I understand the Steelers haven't played great teams either, but they've at least had to do things off script, where the Browns, these last two wins, have not had to change their tune ever. And I don't know if they can.
I don't know that they can play another way. I mean,
trouble's great.
Mayfield is just going to – I think he is who he is at this point, and I think he's going to get you beat if you try – if you ask him to get into a shootout with somebody, because his head will write checks that his arms can't cash.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know Burrow's only been in the league 3 games, and Baker's more experienced. But if you flop those two – I would think the Browns are a very scary team, and I think Mayfield would have 10 picks already.
Yeah,
you know, if he was throwing ball 61 times and taking that kind of pressure.
And that's the other thing. If you look at Cleveland's offensive line, he's not throwing the ball a lot in these first couple of games, but he's thrown 2 picks despite
he's
not throwing.
He's hardly thrown for any yards.
You know, we're talking about how you know, offense, everybody's throwing the football right now. He's got 564 passing yards in 3 games.
A lot of that's a garbage time in week one.
Yeah. A 91.5 passer rating when
bad by
18 guys in the league are over 100 right now. And
and Odell connect here and there, but, you know, it's
not consistent.
Quarterback is an afterthought in that offense when things are good.
Yeah. And he hasn't fumbled yet this year, which is, you know, that's going to happen. You know, he's attempted 85 passes this year through 3 games, so that's less than 30 game. Again, most of that was in week one.
Right, when they were losing by a
million. I just don't know that he's ever going to be that guy.
Mm-mm. No, I mean, he's definitely the quarterback in the division that I am least confident about going forward, of what they're going to be. And
if you think back, 2 years ago, he was, he's the next big thing. People were talking about him being better than Lamar 2 years ago.
He still threw a ton of picks that rookie year. And I know I feel like I'm bashing him all the time, but he played awful defenses as a rookie once the season was already – it's almost like the Drew Locke thing last year. Like, Locke played 5 games, and we talked about this a lot, obviously, Denver week. But it's different when you come in the game – come in the season and there's no expectations. People only see the good. He's a bright young quarterback. Oh, he threw some picks. That's okay. You know, he's throwing touchdowns. But there's no expectations. It's not like you come into the league, you come in the next year, Mayfield's on all the progressive commercials and on every, and there's no leadership in the building, and he's the man. He's a second year quarterback because he had a good 10 game stretch when nobody cared. You know,
right.
Like,
no,
it's a
I
lot different.
You
know, or,
no, I hear you.
I don't know about Locke yet because he got hurt, but to come in and be the man, like, would Denver be any better with Locke right now? Probably not. Unlikely.
Yeah.
At least you'd see him, but it's, you know, I mean, is he ready to put a team on his shoulders when things go bad? No.
No. Not even close.
No.
That's going to do it for our show today. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.